Lindsay recording. Lindsay recording 01.
Yeah.
And if you look closer, you can see it shifting. Can you
okay.
see?
Yeah.
And then to
long
save, long
RV.
Press RV again. And then to pause, let's press the play button.
And pause.
To resume request, yeah. To pause it, you press the right again.
Okay,
and to
pause.
Save, you long
RV.
Press RV.
Sorry for the delay and for the misunderstanding and the inconvenience, but I hope that you have enjoyed the hospitality of Public Works, the portfolio committee of Public Works, with the scones and coffee and tea. but there was an administrative problem which we are really sorting out, and we ask you to please bear with us, but we are on the road, so I don't think we'll stick in the speed limit, CEO. We won't overpass the speed limit, and we'll stick in the speed limit, but I think we can get well done. Thank you very much, Honorable Mayor, for running as fast as you could. I can see that you can put in the explosions button and the corner button. Thank you very much. Also, Honorable Fontani, Lindsay, was supposed to have the haircut. Apparently, the barber could have a shot of laser if you all come back here. So, and then to all honorable members, welcome back. It has been quite a few days. We had to go out, do some political work in challenging constituencies that we had. But welcome back. We're looking forward to the vigorous attempt on Parliament. Ladies and gentlemen, honourable members, the reason for us meeting today and having such a packed program is that our president of the reason, let's see, why is it so far? Oh, okay. Is that we, our budget vote has been scheduled for the 15th or 16th, Mr. Minister. The 16th. The 16th not to sleep over in Cape Town, after you sleep over in Cape Town. You have to know, you have to know. And so it depends on you. So we'll ask for cooperation and work together so that we can move the swiftly forward. But before we start, let's just do a round of introduction and then we can definitely start. My name is Freddie Adams. Just been appointed as acting chair of the committee by the Bible and by the members. So I'll start from my left.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Members. My name is Mandy Kumatihen, a member of the committee, requested by the African National Congress from the Boko Solo District.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Patricia Ellis, and I'm the State of the ASB. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, my colleagues. My name is Priscilla Mlalo, and I'm the acting CEO of the Council for the Built Environment CDE.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Clifton Jankford, I'm CFO of CDE.
Good morning, Members and Chair. My name is Sivuile Mazanze. I represent now the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning, Chair.
Good morning, everyone. I'm sure you're going to be comfortable with the
also apologies for the some of you have only, some of us, not maybe all of us, have only received such invitation this morning. So we really want to apologize for that. But like I said, we are busy sorting out this problem in terms of our administration. I don't think Adam was the only one that should not say that our things do not have. Professor, did you send the documents to your time?
Yes, I will.
Doctor, you look so amazed. Okay. Welcome, Honorable Mukhani. Like I said, he went to the barber for a haircut, but when he had a meeting,
yes.
He said, no, let me prioritize because everybody knows how beautiful and sexy I am, but I'm not going to have my haircut. Honorable Mukhani.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to call that if the UDM didn't get an invitation to come to this meeting, what on earth am I doing here? And the staff have been instructed to lodge an objection to the fact that we never got an invitation to the meeting. We have been instructed to get out of this meeting. And I hope this gets minuted. Because just now, resolutions are taken, and I'm proud to expect that I participated, even though I've already signed the register. But my partner said there is no way they will allow me to participate in anything to which I've not been invited. Thank you.
Okay. No, final of the time, we respect that. Thank you very much. Agrimo, South Africa. Ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, I just want to before Agrimo South Africa starts, to make one point. I've checked up with our political office this morning to find out whether we should cancel the meeting. And it was said that we complain as parliamentarians about the excessive and extravagant expenses of departments and entities. Now, for the entities to go back, will be fruitless and wasteful expenditure. There is no decision that will be taken here. You will present your annual report and your strategic plan, which we then, by next week, will, as a committee, deliberate on this and then start to take decisions. And unfortunately, we can't blame you guys as the entities for Parliament's administrative bungle. So we really want to apologize, and Honorable Putani, we want to apologize on that behalf also to you and your party as well. I did that to the DA, apologize, but like I said, it was taken out of our hands. There was an administrative bungle, but we can't punish the entities for traveling, sacrificing their time. As a fact, they get paid to sacrifice their time. Someone always said, you don't compliment a fish for swimming. But on the other hand, we are also human, so we can't just send people fro and back as we please. So I think we must get this thing over. But we appreciate you. Okay. Honorable Adams and Honorable Matlopa.
Thank you, Chair. We understand what Honorable Matlopa is saying. But I agree with you, Chair, that we can't punish the entities because it was not the fault of the politicians that like sabotaged and so forth. All of us were not invited. But it must be on record. I think that particular assembly that was supposed to invite the members must be dealt with. We can't accept, it must be minimal. Can't accept as members of parliament that we can't perform our duties because of an individual that is not.
So I've checked with the secretary. She's on study leave. She's been given time off by the committee section of parliament for study leave, and she said she has assured me now that she has sent everyone notice. Be that as it may, like I said, we can't punish you people on my right hand side for the administrative bungle of parliament. We will just have to get the show on the road. Once again, apologies from our side, and we'll make the best of it. Doctor, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Members, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a South African. I'd like to present the parliamentary proposal of the Council of Works, a strategic plan and a performance plan that matters for the the Council of Education. So we don't have advocacy. Work on research and evidence. This is the mark of the slide. And we work on the area in green, which is assessment. So we only test the product once they have been developed to see whether they can be fit for purpose. And once the product has a number of certificates and a sufficient number of suppliers, then the Bureau of Standards can go ahead and develop national standards. And that will become the South African national standard. So in terms of product development, there are five steps. There's product concept development, there's economic development, product development stage, there's production to market, which stage the product can reach it, and be assessed its fitness and purpose. Then after that, there's acceptance of goods, as I mentioned, and then there's sufficient external factors, market factors. Then the Bureau then can develop standards and can come up with the product. National standards, the product can be used with national standards. Ladies and gentlemen, the next slide is our external brand going forward. You can list it there, but it's your testimony.
Dr. Joe. Honorable members, now open the floor. Just before we open the floor, we will see some of our members will be leaving us, as some of them has attended or must attend other commitments as well. But don't worry, we will still be here to listen. There will still be members that will listen to what they have to say. Honorable Adam.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, the honorable is very good being there. I myself have been a speaker. But thank you, for your presentation. My first question is on the introduction. When you study the board now, you assess the financial purpose of non-standing guys. Construction. When you assess that financial purpose, non-standardized construction, after your assessment, and you find it well, does it become standardized? That's my first question. The second question is, Chairperson, on the staff, I saw somewhere that they have casual employee. What is the purpose of the casual employee and for what period are they employed? And Mr. Chairperson, the third one. I can start now. But if you will give me another, or the third one is. On slide 16, also in your introduction, you say the key strategic objective is to support and promote the process of integrated social economic development in South Africa. Now, support and promote, what kind of support and promotion do you know? Do you do? And then, Chairperson, agreement with South Africa position in the international arena. How well is it known? What support do they have with competitors in the international arena? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just have one question. And that's related to the arena. I'm looking at a position for society. My one is, we don't have the position of the people and in the community. And I'd like to know why the people are supporting the I didn't see any
I think you should have a very, very effective risk management department to look at the possible risks that there can be. And that's a way also Jefferson to promote the work that the GRIMA is doing. They are doing very good work, but there must be a very effective risk division.
Thank you very much. Just a clarity to the question, Doctor. I've seen on the table that table 3 talked about 15.5. You can just clarify that. And then just another question. How many applications for products products the assist has AgriMo received to date? And what type of non-standardized products does 2D entail? If you can just get some clarity on that. I think you can answer the first round after.
Thank you. Yeah.
Where you have demonstrated to us your innovative skills and fit for purposeness that you display and that you are doing. But you know, a worrying factor, and I was asking the question, a worrying factor, specifically coming from the Western Cape, is the amount of shack fires and all that we have seen here. And part of what we have seen in Soshanguve was the fire-resistant building and storm-resistant building that you've shown us. I wanted to find out if any of the municipalities or public works or the building industry, for that matter, approach you in terms of getting some of that research that we have done and the equipment that we have used to utilize in the industry as such, because it is quite a worrying factor. You know, there was this tornado, I think, part of Gauteng also last year. Now, if AgriMos has all that experience, I mean, I'm talking about experience of what I've seen with my own two eyes, has got that, isn't it worrying for you as, how can we say it, as scientists, that you do all these innovative things and come up with innovative plans and alternative plans, alternative building mechanisms and all that the construction industry doesn't call on you for quite some time. Because, I mean, if we look at our low-cost housing, certainly there is the materials that you guys have researched and have done that can be used in building these low-cost houses to scale down on cost and all. Isn't it a bit worrying for you? Are you talking to one another, or do they talk to you, or you talk to them? Is there a connection somewhere? Thank you, Doctor. I was actually looking at him because at the last presentation, he came to brag to us about all the innovative styles and things that they are doing. Doctor?
Thank you very much. I think there's a lot that is happening in the sphere of social infrastructure and housing. And I think when the Honourable member asked about the certain impact in the informal sector, what is actually happening today, we need to look at it both from the social infrastructure, which could be water services, stormwater issues, could be a road network, or your top structure, which would be then your actual housing products. There are a lot of housing products actually going out there, made of materials that are not necessarily effective. And just for your information, so that you can understand exactly what you mean by innovation. In the building industry, we have a cost, which is called the implementation of rules and regulations. That is the law. Right? And that law, it talks very qualitative that all rules must not fall down. All rules must be a good fire system. People must be able to evacuate in these buildings within an hour or within 30 minutes or so, very qualitative. That's what the law says. And if you break that law, you go to jail. That's it. Now, the question is, how do you comply with this law? There are three ways of complying with this law. First is what is called deemed to satisfy rules, which is what the SABS puts down. It's a standard. SABS will tell you that do this. If you do that, you are complying with this law called the National Food and Regulations. Do this wall here so that it is 130 millimeters wall thick. It means that you are able to evacuate this building in 30 minutes time. That's the law. Right? So it's called SABS. But then, if we are going to comply with that, only we do not have any benefit. So the law allows you to say you can also utilize a second route, which is called the SNAP, where you appoint a competent person, engineer, who is able to say the law requires you to evacuate this route in 30 minutes. The engineer can come up with calculations to demonstrate that the road is compliant with the law. That's the second part. The third part, who says, no, but let's not use these materials that we know, bricks, concrete, steel, etc. Say, use any other material that you want. But if you use any other material that you want, you don't know the behavior of that material. You don't know how it behaves under fire. So now, this is the way Agroma certificate comes in place. Agroma then tests that product. It tests it, puts it in fire, puts it under a different thermal condition, and then they will then certify and say, this product meets the requirements of the law. The law says fire. Agroma tests it and says, this product meets the fire regulation. That is how Agroma sees it in the picture. Three ways of satisfying the law: SABS, a racial design by an engineer, or an Agroma certificate. The Agroma certificate comes in where you don't understand the product, where you've never seen the product, you don't know the behavior of that product. There are many products out there that do not comply with the law. And what the CEO was explaining, now there are a number of products which include your bridge materials. And I give a simple example of the Georgia water tank. Georgia water tank was actually certified by Agro. So all these water tanks that you actually see, they are all certified by Agro. So it has that a number of products. If you go to the website, there are possibly more than how many products, at the moment, probably more than 200 products that have been certified. Top structure, you go now into Eastern Cape, they are rolling out a number of houses using innovative building materials. Here in the Western Cape, I know a few projects that have actually been implemented also using, and they're performing very well in the area. And throughout the country, there are quite a number of these products that have been able to utilize. So I think there is an opportunity, and that's why some 2 years ago, we took some of the portfolio committee members to come and see some of those products that we use in a hub where we have all the different types of products. But I think it is time to actually invite you to a real project where you can actually see some of these products on the ground. So when you are talking of innovation, it can be an innovative in terms of a solar panel. It's also another innovative product that is actually being certified by Agroma. So Agroma is looking into a variety of construction products that are actually coming.
I think it's very good. But if you look at the size of the
That's a legal person. They don't talk about law to her. That's a legal, legal. You're a scientist? That's a legal. You're a scientist, doctor. Thank you very much. You want to respond?
No, and I just wanted to, I appreciate the comment, honorable member. And just to add on, in terms of the costing, one of the critical issues when it comes to costing, that's why you look at life cycle development cost. And one of the benefits of innovative technology is the time spent to actually implement some of these projects. So when you're looking at typical housing construction of any building at all, using innovative building materials reduces the time, and time as it compares to some of those. But I appreciate the comment.
Ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, but before I release you, I'll look, you will be on your own as from 2018,
or in 2018. Well, this is the first of April 2017, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
So you're on your own already?
We are already, we are already in the legal system.
On your own? Okay, so
although,
you don't have...
Although we are still being assisted by CSIR, but theoretically we are legal entity.
Okay. So you don't squat by CSIR anymore. So,
we
don't squat.
We do do.
Don't squat then. No, but we want to say thank you, the scientists and the engineers, the doctors, for making the time to be here, and thank you for the valuable input. And all the best. We will be coming to you shortly, but not when you are squatting, because we don't want to also be termed as squatters in your property. But all the best, and you are now on your own. So now it's by time that you start getting out of the shadow of CSIR and start stamping down your own product to your own things. Because we really appreciate what you guys are doing. But although a lot of people doesn't know what AgriMo, what Africa stands for, when they saw AgriMo, they think, no, this is a French company coming again to South Africa, but they don't know it's our own, and we can be proud of our own. Thank you very much. All the best, and we'll see each other shortly. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, we're going to have a short break, a 10-minute break, because there's some tea, while IDT, Independent Development Trust, will set up, and then we will be still on track. Although we started late, normally those of you that fly a lot, all of you on my right, some of my left that flies a lot, you normally hear what the captain says, sorry, we have departed late, but we'll make up time as we go. We'll be landing on time. So we made up time as we go. Thank you to AgriMo South Africa for assisting us in making up that time. We'll have a 10-minute break, and then IDT will set up. After IDT, it will be approximately lunchtime, and then it will take our other two entities, CIDB and CBE, that will then come after that. Okay. Please make use of the tea and coffee, otherwise, don't worry, we will build each one of you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, as I've explained to you earlier, that some of our members have still got some things to do, are here. Most important thing is we are here. And I want to say to you now that you are now in the Adams place. Both of us are Adams. No relation, there's no nepotism. It's just that both of us are Adams. So you are now in the Adams place. And we want to start. And we are going now to the Independent Development Trust. Take us through, and I want to say to the CEO, sir, the floor is yours. Just before that, Mr. Jenison, you should keep open here, you know. Not to say I'm acting when Honorable Martin was here, he used to flood in his lobby. Now I'm acting on a set phone alone. IDP. I love this department, IDP. The entity, the IDP. Because they are doing such wonderful work. And whenever you go to them, they treat you like real royalty. It's just a wink-wink scheme that I'm making here. So when we come to your other entities, please follow the IDP. CEO, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, all of the members. We are here to present the IDP meeting and our performance plan. Please allow me to just mention that we're showing us our chairperson.
Oh, he's the president. Sorry, he's. Since last night, he was very busy. So we understand his view. We accept his apology. On TV, on radio, and everywhere. We've heard him. He's very busy. Oh, sorry. Just your apology. Also an apology for the Director General of Public Works, who was, you know, with all the shifting in government and all that, people are running around. People are running around. So, are there any other more policies on CEO, Jefferson, all that we need to know?
CBE.
CBE. But you know what?
Yes.
NCIDB. You know what? Let's not worry about them. The most important people are here. It's you. So, tell them they can stay where they are. You guys are the most important people. But you must do all the work. Thank you for you being here.
We will be giving our presentation as outlined in the document. The first thing we're going to get is a strategic overview, inclusive of the financial aspects. We are also going to get a summary of program plans and how they are linked to other plans. Let me also just indicate that the newly appointed Board of Trustees has already had their strategic planning session, and we have definitely satisfied ourselves with the deliverables and the progress. Just to mention that our priorities and focus of the financial year will be the finalization of the business case, the 5-key-point plan outlining the financial and for the strategy and progress to take. It's not just a plan, we will be highlighting on progress because there's been a lot of movement in that. We will also then talk to our turnaround strategy and the progress related to take. And I must also indicate we have already looked at appointments of senior members, which was a concern, and the skills within the finance division. We will also talk to our strategic repositioning. Amongst others, the highlight is building technical competency, because as you know, with the IDP, we are more focused on program and project management. We have already done an assessment of our skills, and looking at how it is presented, we need to balance it out, because we are sitting with almost 40% technical competency and 60% support. So we have organizational development aspects. We have to be looking at that. And the reason to focus on the program and project management is to ensure that we look at our own strategic positioning to ensure our financial sustainability. As we have also through our strategic planning session, look at other Nigerian leaders have been attributing. And Chair, that allowed me to hand over to our highly competent team that is continually taking the IDT to greater heights. I thank you.
So the IDT is also saying, as some of us in South Africa are saying, we are ready to be led by a woman. IDT also saying that. Good, good, good.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you to the Deputy Secretary of the Board and also the rest of the team, the trustees who are here, my colleagues. We're going to share this presentation, but we're going to be very, very fast. We will try to be as succinct and precise as possible, but bearing in mind that we have other executives that still need to come in. As the Deputy Chair outlined very well, the IDT is a moving train. We are fixing the car as it moves. We have focused ourselves in the reorganization and repositioning of IDT. And this APP has actually incorporated work that we are doing to restructure and reorganize and reposition the institution. We also incorporated our focus on the turnaround. You will remember that in our previous engagement with the committee, we have outlined IDT challenges, which are the areas that we have just outlined for targeting. Chair, I will, just as a way of managing the presentation, the preceptive slides are important as a background to the work that will follow. The COO will take you to specific targets. But for me, is just to give you just a rehash on some of the issues that we've been working with. IDT. You will, if you look at the slide number 4, we're just talking about underlying assumptions that inform the plan, our plans going forward. You will recall that IDT is now a fully fledged agency, government agency that is focusing on program management for various government departments on social infrastructure programs. We have taken a view as organization that, as the future is stated, we need to realign and reconfigure ourselves in order to respond to that mandate, that specific mandate. So the business case deals with a lot of detail around what needs to be done, but the key thing that's coming up is that the department now of public works has given us a very, very clear direction in terms of over the next 3 to 5 years what they need to do, including their reliance on the entity as an additional capacity to complement the work that they're doing. So when we talk about planned infrastructure, planned maintenance, or construction management, they will be relying a lot on IDT. Now that brings the other question of what needs to be done, therefore, to make this vehicle very efficient, effective, and sustainable. So we are talking with them, we've been engaging with them in recent discussions in preparation for the minister's presentation of this position to cabinet. But the key thing here is that both the Department and National Treasury are working very closely with us in terms of realigning and repositioning the IDT. You will also remember that we have been reporting back to this committee that we are not getting any funding from the fiscal currently. We rely on management fee. So we have to make sure at all times that our revenue generation is on top, and also we recover just gives an outline. I'm not going to go into detail here. It just gives an outline of the entire planning process so that the members can have a feel of what is involved in developing this document we call APP. The process starts in February, where there's a lot of interaction between the executive committee at management level with the committees on the board. Then it goes through a process where we do an environmental scan. Some people may want to know what is this environmental scan and why it's important. Environmental scan basically is to look at both internal and external factors that could impact on the business of IPG. Whether social, economic, or political factors, we take them into consideration. We look at what affects our clients in the main government department, whether the infrastructure plans of government going forward are going to be affected by economic outlook, what does it mean for us as IGT, and then we position ourselves accordingly where we identify strategies that need to be adopted, and we factor them in the annual performance plan to make sure that we do a thorough exercise when we do this from a regional level right up to a consolidated view at a national level. And then after that, we will have a board strategy workshop where we discuss, we draft a plan. We also factor whatever input that comes into the MTF, where the interactive department, where they are submitting their ESE input to Treasury. And then after that, we will have direct engagement, mini workshops with the department itself. They define some of the targets that we put in place. Particularly share around August, we start submitting our first draft, and then second draft, if at the end of November, and obviously the final submission will be at the end of January. Now moving to the vision and mission, and again I'm not going to spend time here, plain to say, IGT is probably one of those entities that have their work cut out for them, because as of now, we only preferred agency that focus on social infrastructure program and project management under the public work mandate. We do know that there are other agencies that are playing in this space, but they are also supposed to be guided by the norms and standards that are set up by the department. But we have existing protocols as IGT that are in place. The process of analyzing the business case will simply seal off the remaining work that needs to be done to get the founding legislation for IGT to have this mandate codified in particular legal document. The mission is to manage and deliver integrated quality social infrastructure programs on behalf of government on time and cost effectively and through a people-centered approach. Our strategy, therefore, also focuses on us looking at government priorities like job creation, community empowerment, looking at the sectors that have been disadvantaged in the past, the youth, women sector, as well as the persons with disabilities. In terms of our approach, we involve communities to ensure that they participate in their own development. And this is very important for IGT because we do social participation and it's our niche area where we have a community development approach to delivering a fundamental decision that has already been taken place in order to strengthen the role of ICTs in this social infrastructure space. One being that the department looks at ICT now as a critical delivery arm, which will focus on construction management. As you know, the department also deals with property management, building systems and all that. We also refined protocols with some of the client departments and the provinces, and this protocol also governs the way in which ICT works in the government department. We have received support from the Public Works Inland in terms of that protocol, which helps us in terms of being able to conduct and engage various departments, especially at the judicial level. In terms of our programs, in the main, we have two programs, Chair. The main core business being integrated service delivery, which looks into how ICT plans and delivers various social infrastructure programs. Now, in terms of this particular one, the strategic objective is the provision of efficient, effective, and integrated public social infrastructure delivery management services. And then the focus areas is to deliver quality social infrastructure on time within budget and scope. This is an area we will talk to later on in the presentation. There is still more work to be done to coordinate planning processes in government generally, especially between various government delivery agencies and implementing agencies. Because government departments are now required to coordinate planning more appropriately, more properly and efficiently with implementing agencies. There have been instruments recently issued by both the National Treasury as well as CIPB that will facilitate these processes, including the IGMS as well as the procurement instructions or the procurement standards that have been recently issued. In a nutshell, for us as implementing agencies, in order to finish the work of government on time and maintain good quality, we need to receive instructions well in advance. We need to receive plans of various government departments well in advance, because there's a lot of work that implementing agents have to undertake before they actually execute these programs. So in the entire chain, there are certain specific time frames. Unfortunately, with government chairs, let's be honest, the planning side of the work is still very much lacking. So it does contribute on late start of the project as well as ensure that we sometimes accuse of understanding or making the departments to understand, because we receive the allocation sometimes very late. We've just now started the new financial year, but you'll find that some departments may still give us projects in June. Now you have very little time to get everything ready so that you can everything within the financial year. So we do have such kind of challenges. We also employ the preventive approach to the delivery of programs on behalf of government to strengthen community ownership and social cohesion. This for us is very critical in two ways. One, social participation assists communities to buy into these programs, but it also assists in ensuring that they participate and empower themselves. In some instances, we've experienced where communities, including various sectors, whether it's business sector, where they form up forums where they go and literally shut down sites because they feel they have not been involved or they are not participating.
is part of the project program of the Bravo government. This is like the EPWP. We have been assigned the task to manage the non-state sector of the EPWP program. The second program is administration. There, potentially, is more institutional capacity, efficiencies, and ensuring that IDT is a high-performing, viable entity. We're looking at all the internal arrangements in terms of financial management systems, compliance, business management, and also ensuring that the human resource management strategies are in place to ensure IDT is running efficiently. So we have a particular vision to build a sustainable organization that is leading in terms of clean governance and fighting everything that is bad, including corruption, because in the infrastructure space we've got the risk of corruption. The next slide largely talks to how IDT work contributes to the 14 government outcomes. We highlighted those outcomes we believe are more relevant to IDT work. The first one, for instance, being the quality of basic education through building of schools, of upgrading of schools, traditional classrooms. We also ensure that in those areas where children need to have a learning and teaching environment that is conducive to quality education, make sure that it's in place. On skills and capable workforce, we also lay on job creation through the NSF, PWP program, create jobs, and so forth. So this is just to give an indication of our contribution. The next slide, again, speaks to what I earlier referred to as a better scale, but this gives a summary of the implications of what's happening around us as ICT. I'm not going to dwell much, safe to say we all know CHEP, but in terms of the financial outlook, the country has also been affected by what's happening worldwide. The issues of the European Union, Brexit, Britain, moving away from the European Union and all the fears and implications around that, how it has affected on the market, the issue of investment rating for the country. We now know that two rating agencies have already rated South Africa below investment rate or simply junk status. When we were preparing this, we were still above junk status, but we were having a negative outlook. We now know that one last agency is still going to take a view around the status, economic status of the country. These matters are important because we can project whether the business generation capacity of ICT has a positive or a negative outlook. Because if government departments' budgets are cut for one reason or another, as we know, austerity measures will also impact on the work of ICT. In terms of political environment, I think we do mention that as a country, we have a very stable democracy. All the pillars that are required in terms of strengthening our democratic institutions are in place. We've got a very strong Bill of Rights. We've got a constitution that is supported by a legislative framework that are very strong. Institutions of democracy, chapter 9 institutions physical environment perspective, I've already highlighted the implication of the budget cuts into the ICT portfolio. I must also say that my colleagues will also touch on some of these areas. The ICT, in terms of its repositioning exercise, is also strongly looking at beefing up its capacity, especially on the technical side. Because we do get recently a lot of complaints from clients that they are sometimes tempted to pull out business because they feel ICT may not have adequate capacity. Obviously, the structural problems that we have need to be attended to urgently. We have engaged the new board as well on the matter so that we can look at the whole exercise so that we can reconfigure ourselves appropriately. We also talking, as I said, when it comes to additional funding that we are looking at, we've already identified areas that are strategic for us, especially on human resources as well as systems that will manage our portfolio. You will see here that our organizational structure hasn't been growing, it has been stable or stagnant at 4.1 for a number of years. We have managed to fill some of the positions, as you will see in the vacancy rate that we're talking about, currently 92% occupancy rate on budgeted both, but just below 90% on the full establishment. But this is a struggle for us because it costs us money. You will see also that the staff cost has gone up a bit, but it's a critical component because we are a labor-intensive organization. We sell knowledge, we sell skills who are the ones managing our project. So we have to rely on them in terms of impact on the ground and visibility. In terms of occupancy level, I just indicated here, I'm not going to go into detail, just in the breakdown of the various positions, but we say we currently at about 94% of greater rate for budgeted positions, for funded positions, as well as 82% in terms of the overall headcount, that is overall establishment. This SWOT analysis, I'm trying to see how I manage it, but I'm going to summarize the key things that we believe as an organization give us very strong points, but also touch on weaknesses, indicate opportunities as well as strengths. In terms of strengths, I think the biggest strength I must say is that we are the only entity of government that has been given this mandate officially. I know others are doing it, and they are, I may not comment much, but they are accountability instruments back to the mother body that is going to be funding, might be challenging. But we also have a number of years' experience in this field. IDT started engaging on social infrastructure in the early 2000s when the mandate of IDT changed to manage government programs from previous grant-making institutions. Now, so far, we have had masters in proof of concept. Other challenges that we have, but we know there's a number of facilities across the land that ICT has built, very beautiful buildings, but also we have had the footprint in all nine provinces, and we've managed to build a very, very terms of weaknesses, I think in my area of presentation, I've already started taking some of the shortcomings that we face. The biggest for us is the issue of sustainability and the volatility of the business, because we do not have a confirmed allocation on a multi-year basis. We have to knock at the doors to get things there. Sometimes we do get it, sometimes business will go away, but we are not the only agency that is suffering from this. But the environment generally is fragile for us, which makes it very difficult to target in terms of what we want to achieve. I think later on, when we discuss the targets, we find out that they are very much flexible. We also require, I know it's a very highly competitive state, technical skills in terms of the built environment aspect, and they are not much in a budget supply, but also we need money to offer packages that will ensure that we can attract and retain the high caliber personnel. And that also is a bit of a challenge, because our balance sheet is very weak at this stage. So we try to do the best with the less. In terms of opportunities, I think we have a huge opportunity in terms of the future plans of government. If you look at the 9.9 infrastructure investment, is one of the key areas that has been identified as a game changer. Social infrastructure would take about 51% of that $800 billion plan for infrastructure over the next 3 to 5 years. But also knowing how various subject markets struggle to manage and execute these projects, you do need a specialist vehicle like IDT that will come in and assist them and lead them from the work of brick and mortar, so that they focus on their competence. IDT then comes in very handy. So it is an opportunity for us. Hence, the Deputy Chair is also indicated that other areas are exploring very, very seriously to relook at the service delivery model of ICT, which will ensure that we build an in-house capacity for professional services.
stated the focus areas in the turnaround strategy, financial governance and viability. As I indicated, we are addressing all the issues that relate to strengthening our financial management capacity, clearing output finding, but also looking at revenue generation options, and also streamlining our business systems and project management systems. In terms of the next pillar is on organizational integrity, basically looking at all the governance arrangements and also ensuring compliance issues are dealt with. The key being service delivery improvements. I must say here, we have done a walkthrough of the entire value chain to look at where challenges are, and we have identified areas that needed to be streamlined. In some instances, we are going to be automating some of the processes to make sure that we deliver a very efficient way. Because for us, the business is best home because we generate income from delivering our project. The sooner we deliver the project, and the sooner we bill our clients, and also make sure that we do a good work, so that they are happy to pay us the better. Lastly, we're looking at the reconfiguration of the organization and being dedicated to deal with the issue of the 60-40 split between core and non-core business. And that work underway, and we have committed to wrap it up within this financial year. In terms of performance environment, just to talk about demand for services and client expectation, these are the issues that we keep monitoring for on an ongoing basis. Just to towards my closure, so that I give over to my colleague, this slide is a pie chart that gives you a sense of the business split between infrastructure facilities, you can see 83%, and then the social development services. That will include your EPWP, so that you get a sense that where the ICT focus area is now. I think from here I can pause and give the CFO a chance to take us through, but the indication that I needed to close with is that currently the biggest challenge shared we are grappling with is the issue of the going concern, because our three-year project deficit, much as we are putting up all the measures to reduce the deficit, some of the interventions we are engaging the minor groups as well as treasurers, we need cash injection to invest in critical areas that we ensure that we turn around the corner. This pie chart that shows the summary of the portfolio in more detail in terms of various portfolios, the biggest being education, followed by justice at 90%, then healthcare facilities, and lastly, EPWP, and then smaller minor ones, including environmental welfare. Thank you very much. Let me ask the CFO Chair and all other members to just quickly add to the design issue.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, I'm going to go through the financial implications of us delivering on the ICT. ICT's financial outlook for the current financial year, which we will disclose in March, is negative and estimated at 159 billion. Growth in program expenditure is expected to be minimal. Program expenditure is where we derive our revenue. For the MTAP period, that's 2017-2019-20, we continue still making a subject financial performance with a total deficit of 101 million. Instead of the 110 that is noted in the slide. It's 401 for the 3 years. As mentioned already, ICT is currently facing going concern challenges, which have been highlighted at shareholder initiative.
Kim Junction from National Treasury and Enterprises. For the first time in 2017, we did not receive anything, hence our operating surplus has shifted to the tune of in excess of 100 million. We have been fortunate enough to fund the deficit from our own reserves, but we are at a stage where the reserves are really getting depleted to such an extent that by the end of quarter one in 2017-18, we did continue talking to National Treasury, we will be facing a cash flow crunch. So National Treasury, they are aware of our situation. We've engaged with them with DPW, where we went through our fiscal stability, and the forecast had to be revised downward, especially with the anticipated new investments with the support of DPW. So the 401 outlook has been revised downwards to 125. On a monthly basis, we communicate, we engage with Treasury, we give them our cash flow, golden cash flow projection on a 12-month basis. So in short, the 401 originally submitted is reflected as follows for the next 3 years. It's 179 net deficit impacted mainly by the CAPEX of 57 million and following by 135 and finally 87. It is going down slightly, but with the revised forecast, it's even much, much less. The next slide talks about the challenges. The challenges that we are facing as IDC relate mainly to the delay in transfer from time department, which has resulted in us not complying with the 30-day payment to suppliers and service providers. In certain instances, we have waived suppliers to go to National Treasury and others have gone to the DPSE, but we are sitting with them and addressing their issues, including the client department. We just had a session in Kyrgyzstan where both client departments were called in by the DPSE to seek and resolve the non-payment issues with the service providers. We are also engaging at regional level where we have stakeholder engagement with our suppliers to understand the challenges that they are facing. Already last year, we issued for finance a request that we advertised in the papers and media to ask service providers out there to confirm balances that were due and paid by IDC on behalf of client departments. Management fees continue to be a challenge because ideally, IDC should be at the stage where it's self-funding. But the level of revenue that we are generating is based on the level of proposal policies that we have been implementing. We have been very much challenged in that space. As already discussed, we have issues of budget cuts from client departments. Sometimes some of the programs have been suspended or delayed, and that has impacted on the level of work that we have delivered. Hence, it has had a direct negative impact on the management fees that we have raised. The other issue that we're going to touch on is the issue of the negative cost outcomes that we've endured in the last 2 years. We have come up with an aggressive audit action plan and a dedicated task team addressing prior audit outcomes. We have identified a plan that has already taken off to a very, very much advanced stage where we went in the major basis of the negative outcome was around take-on balances where IDC did a migration about 3 years ago and there were certain balances that were not allocated. We have gone in with a five-phase approach. We identified the actual migration allocated balances that took place during 2013-14. We developed corrective adjusting channels. We pulled the backward dog. And then we gave the files to the internal audit to review prior to submitting it to external audit. The progress to date is that we did this at regional level because it was a very huge exercise so that we could manage it properly. So to date, we have given the auditors four files, four regions. The intention is that by mid-May, we'll have all the files so that before the official cutoff of submitting to Treasury, they have actually reviewed all the information that related to prior audit outcomes so that when we submit our audit. closing, I'd like to say, program expenditure, although it's expected to grow at a moderate rate at present stage, is becoming a key driver of ICT investments and necessary revenue that we need. But the issue of diversification is going to become important for us, where at least we can grow our average management fee from a 5.5% to plus 9.8%. And also, the issue of additional funding is still an issue. We need additional funding in order to deliver the ATP and also maintain ICT's growth for the next stage. Thank you. I'd like to hand over to our colleagues to take us to the final part of the conversation.
Chair, this is the last ranking, which is the actual target for the MTF period, as well as in particular for the PhD 16-17 financial year. Just to start off that, we got two programs, program one, being service delivery created, being the target that we achieved as an organization in order to make a difference within the organization. The program two is internally oriented program, looking at issues of governance, administration, and related management aspect. We make an indication then of the focus which we would want the organization to place in this program. We are indicating, Chair, I think this is probably the most important slide, because it carries one of our most important targets, which is the program portfolio target. We target in, Chair, I want to direct honorable members to focus on the column 2017-18 in the medium term estimate. We target in 5 billion for the 2017-18. We always explain this target. Often we receive comments such as, shouldn't you be doing what is in your control? Chair, government entities like us, who are operating, you could say, in a business environment, are unable to operate as a government department would, where they would have been given a specific budget, and then they are able to cut and draw to size, so to speak, according to what they. In our case, 5 billion is similar to one Coca-Cola which needs to trade as a target in a given year. So the 5 billion is not the amount we have, it's the amount we must go to the client and convince them to trust us, to place those resources in our care for us to deliver programs on their behalf. So it is not in our control because we're operating in a business environment. You will note, Chair, that in the previous year, the baseline was 4.6 billion, that's what we achieved during the 2015-16, and we're upping that to 5 billion in terms of what we target. If you look in the previous years, you will see that the impact of the fiscal environment has not left us untouched as an organization. In the previous 3 years, you will see that we actually used to deliver at the level of around 6.45 billion, but the budget cut experienced by many departments has meant that lesser resources are allocated to social infrastructure, thereby impacting on the mandate given to us to support them. We also target Chair from the empowerment point of view to spend a significant portion of the resources to support government development objectives. One of those targets is that at least 65% of that 5 billion must be spent on waiting to be approved first from them. We have been able to achieve this in the past, as demonstrated by the budget figures previously. The next target is the spend on women. We target to spend at least 20% of that 5 billion on women-owned. And as you can see over the past, we've been able to achieve that and we've been able to make that target. The next target, Chair, is the value of spend on youth-owned council implemented a contracted development program over the years. And in that program, we want to have minimum of 65% participation being women. In addition to that, we want to allocate a certain portion of our programs to the contracted development program. And we are targeting with the building 17-18, which is one of the 4% of our programs. So 4% of the 5 billion must be designated to the city program. The next target is the number of work opportunities created through IDP portfolios. We're targeting 7.5%. This target, as the industry begins to use large equipment, has been under a lot of pressure. Also, as most clients have had budget cuts, job creation has taken a huge knock, with most clients now focusing on getting the infrastructure units erected. In the past, it was a bit, should I say, more likely to find each other between us and clients in terms of dedicating specific programs to job creation. Number of the BWP opportunities, we target to deliver 50,000 jobs. This is a program we do on behalf of our mother body. We act as an intermediary in the Pina State Sector Program. The program supports job creation and largely utilizing existing programs from the non-state sector. It's an expansion program, so to speak, and we've been doing this program for the last 4 or 5 years, and it's been doing very well in making a difference. And through the PWP, we also support non-state sector organizations, whether they be faith-based or simple non-profit organizations, who would be the ones actually engaging in the resources that we utilize in the job creation. So for the 2017-18, we target to support this. Chair, I will not spend much on this because this is an internally focused strategic objective. Same to say, what is key here is that we have a target to change our fortunes in relation to the audit outcome, both financial as well as the performance audit outcome. We have a target to continue pressing towards paying service providers on time. The committee is much aware that we struggle with this area due to late transfers of program funds by clients. Sometimes funds are channeled to other programs, thereby impacting on our ability to pay service providers. But we continue to commit ourselves to change the dedicated targets. Other targets that deal with the area of strategic planning, which is critical for the organization, the area of enterprise risk management, human capital strategy, as well as employment equity planning, areas that we prioritize in the organization, average management fee bills. My colleague has spoken about the revenue generation by the organization. The IDT, over the last, should I say, 5 years or so, has been migrating from a completely public or government-funded organization to a somewhat substantially self-funded organization through the introduction of a management fee. And hence, we have a target in relation to the management fee. But I will not repeat what my colleague said. Therefore, we have a target that leads to both billing as well as collection of the management fee, and a target relating to efficiency in the organization, including budget savings, which are implemented through some of the cost-cutting measures implemented in the organization. The target dealing with communication, cross-selling, important of communication, in the organization as well as stakeholder relations. In terms of the links to other plans, the APP has a corporate page that deals with risk management. And key in relation to risk management is the existence of the audit and risk terms of what we achieve. And Chair, you know that if you work within the construction space, all the corruption is an issue, and we are not spared from that challenge that we have achieved. In fact, when we come back to you on the annual report, there will be an indication of some of the tactics that the consequence management is implemented in the organization in that regard. But it's an area where we keep pressing in terms of fighting to get the fraud prevention plan, policy strategy in place, including the fraud hotline, which I must say in the last 2 years has been active and the results are Chair, in the form of the change that has been effected on the 5-year strategy informed by cooperation and government, there are targets which we have implemented as a business unit depending on implementing robust systems that can help us to measure some of the things that are pertinent in our corporate delivery. And those targets are outlined there. I think as we move forward, the intention is to meet these targets in the corporate level and assume the robust systems to support the project. My CEO, I think, will conclude then.
Let's try to pass the mic on to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I have to represent the committee to the last slide on the recommendations, which require the committee to vote and support the APP of the ICT for Hero Service in the United States. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I have only one question. According to the slide 51, you said there is a health prevention plan as part of the NFS as in.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. On 1940, there is an indication of women being represented at 50%, which I just wanted to check whether these women who are given positions as well, because the 50%, they are being capacitated so that they can also be part of
so thank you very much. Just on the just question of clarity. Now I know the IDT are doing mostly client referral work, working referred by Department of Public Works for clients to the Department of Public Works. Now are there any of your clients that is Public Works owing you money or unpaid debt as for such within the circulation in the financial circles of the IDT and as of the Public Works? Then the scope and nature of the work that has been referred to the IDT. We have seen recently about school buildings fallen down, or the workmanship has not been to the standard as been expected. Is the in the construction industry, does the IDT work for argument's sake, with CIDB, CBE, the council, for CBE Council for Built Environment, but also with your architects, landscapers, and engineers. We've seen great improvement or work done on a provincial level, like in Mpumalanga, where the team has really worked together in building the High Court, as well as the traffic department or the traffic college. Now, if you've got other examples in South Africa as such, where from a national level there's that close coordination, coordinating workmanship and synergy between the IDT, the building industry, as well as the province. And also with your NMS, can you perhaps show us or tell us in which provinces are mostly spent? I see there's quite a lot of spent, a lot of opportunities have been created through the NMS. Can you just inform us in which provinces has that opportunity been created? Over to you, CEO, and the team.
Thank you very much, Chair. And my colleagues will add, maybe quickly address the approach that you said. Yes, indeed, Chair, my own
support. We can use that. I'm not sure whether my colleagues will have this or not, in terms of the breakdown each province in terms of the job creation that we will work on with that have been nearby. But there is a regular reporting process to have to go for the main coordinator of the business. Thank you very much.
Well, if you haven't got that breakdown now open, you can always forward that to us.
Chair, thank you.
Just another clarity question. What is the reason that public works has not allocated to the budget? Yeah, because you have mentioned that you did not receive any allocation from them. You've worked out of management fees, which you have saved up. Now, there must be a reason why they say maybe you've got too much management fees, or maybe, but please give us that reason also, please, in your answering. Sorry to you.
Chair, thank you. Maybe let me start with a little answer, Chair. Chair, from 2011 and 2012, we had engagement with the public workers. And at the time, we were saying to them, the transition which National Treasury was demanding, that ICT be transformed to a self-funding, would be a journey. And it would require the various forms of technology, including transitional funding. Now, there was an agreement on that, in fact, transitional funding was allocated in over 44 years, 150 billion over time. Now, something else happened which affected the pace of the transition. The business case, which was meant to inform the transition, did not get concluded or approved, which meant that the transition essentially became, should I say, a sustainment until I think that 2015-16, because the last tranche 50 billion funding from public works flow treasury. Now, in order for the ICT to move from where it is, a number of things need to be decided. One is the revised mandate. The ICT was established, it was established as a generic developmental organization, which at the time was not on funding. So if now the government wants to insist on self-funding, then a funding model needs to be established. So we've now been left with discussions with both public works and National Treasury to say, the transition is not done, which is why my colleague was saying that we would have made a bid for funding for the 2016-17 National Treasury, which was not approved at the time, which is why she said we are still now engaging in the following of that funding. We use the term DPW National Treasury interchangeably when it comes to funding, but the funds come from National Treasury through DPW. So often the National Treasury says no, even if the DPW was saying yes, they were, for example, saying yes to fund for the 2016-17, and National Treasury says no. I'm not sure, Chair, whether I can close the other question.
But what was the reason? There must be a reason why.
For National Treasury. National Treasury is saying, you could say that they are more concerned with the pace of the business case. So they're saying the department and us have to reach a point where a finality is reached on what is the mandate, what is the funds for. They're saying they feel exposed to the, should I say, ongoing fund management. So they're committed to engage both ourselves and the department to find the last distribution in terms of the funding models.
But how soon will that business case? Because my the reason for my question is, you've got deliberated schools, the specifically in the Eastern Cape and in other provinces. Children studying under trees and the outside and all that. IDT is one of those entities that has been identified to assist in the school program, building of new schools and all that, but also the building of and the construction work of the department, which IDT has been targeted and earmarked to roll out those things and act as the agency, as the department agency for the construction and reconstruction of these things. So the longer the business case takes on to be finalized, the longer service delivery won't happen on the ground. And that is what we are worried about. As a committee, we are worried about our service delivery that must take place on the ground. So the department is here. The department can also give us an indication what they hold up with the business plan after IDT is finished. I will allow the department to give us, in their words, what the holdup and how soon can this business case be finalized so that service delivery must carry on.
Thank you, sir. You, two more questions there. One related to the revised plan in terms of how our capacity to change to. One is in terms of our spend. Other way through our contraceptive worker program, public, we have 65% representation of women. That program entails not just work allocation, but also training of the participating women. I think one of the projects, for example, in terms of the work allocation of Southgate, which is over 250 million in terms of. So for some of those highlights where women have been accused of level 9 in terms of slavery. The workmanship chair remains a challenge. It is a challenge because we committed ourselves to work better conduct. We've always been. So it's a challenge that does not that does not surprise us all, because we see it coming with the chair for the Bushu money. We can chair two pediatric facilities, one of which, from observation of pediatric we've seen in the past, we're now extending our capacity. We always look at some program management, and we ourselves want the outsourced approach of management. We now extending our capacity to do what we call one intervention in order to insource some of the capacity we outsource in order to strengthen our monitor of projects at the ground level. But generally, Chair, we have not had increased the amount of projects in our system. And this is true persistence with the problem with the project and for man or whatever it is, what is money. The project conduction of the new site, the process not paid, the process gone under. But we always persist to find a solution. So I would be very surprised if you come across any IDT project that is in the abandonment of the workmanship of our community. Even where we have bigger problems, we work with them and to identify those. And we have had one of them was finally where there were serious problems both in the capacity of the contractor but also in the monitor by our outsourced agents. And we work with the department of the so it's an area of project work through also our CPP in terms of capacity of the contractor. The last one chair for me was the jobs in terms of the MSF, the 50,000 jobs created. We are only positive, Chair, but the bulk chairs are in the Eastern Cape, KZN, and Morocco. We
sorry, just on the 50,000, how many are in rural areas?
I would say 95%. Most of these MPOs are in rural areas. Some in Perry, Ebony, but most of them in rural areas.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of funds owing money to IDPs, we have the Department of Arts and Culture, National, and a lot of those suppliers using the jobs that we've done for DSC has become very litigious. So we've been taken to court and taken the stand that we had to settle one of the suppliers in the with IDPs. So in this one, I've already engaged with DPSC to ask them. One of the suppliers has gone straight to DPSC to demand money. And I said, given the current financial situation of IDPs, I'm unable to entertain them. They might help me get people to DSC to at least get the money to pay a settle on this loan up to the suppliers. Then we have the KZN and CCA, those are the most affected regions. We have the issue of National DPP. They are also not paying money as we expected. I think the other challenge that is facing us is that in the last 6 months or so, most of the health departments, they stopped giving us structures. They're now paying us based on invoices that we give them, and that has extended the process in terms of the number of things that the invoices are in the system. Because they come into IDP, from IDP we package them, we put them back up, we approve them, send them to the department, and they go through the system of the department, and by the time they pay us, there's a month or two later. So that poses a challenge. Then we've got the Department of Education within the provinces, especially KZN and Eastern Cape. Then also in KZN we have the Department of Health, but we are engaging the Department of Health because most of the suppliers also in that area, they have become litigious because these are very old outdated items, especially when the department took over this project. So the suppliers will not see them back to the department when the cut-off happened 3 years. So I'm handling that as a special effort. Then the other challenge that we experienced was that towards the end of the year, most of the departments did not pay us. I don't know whether it was due or funds that had been restricted to their respective areas, but at least we just managed to have the OG come on board.
Public works. There's a big problem here. But we're sitting with a big problem. Because my point is if they can't pay the because most of their work are subcontractors and are out contracts. The small contractors all that. They haven't got money to pay the outsourced contractors. Our small-scale contractors are suffering. We are killing the industry in terms of small-scale contractors, and then where does radical economic transformation goes out by the window? Because we are killing the poor man on the ground. So please, please, Bob, give us. Sorry, man. 30 days, yeah. Give us some light, or otherwise we will have to get the director on the next flight here, now to come and explain to us why is he letting the poor men suffer.
Thank you, Chair. I think one thing is expected in one of the departments to provide clarity in the process. I think it's safe to say that there are delays between the departments and the IDP as well as the matter of the finalization of this case. I can't give a definitive answer, say to definitive conclusion of the process. Safe to say that we are in the advanced stage. Engagement has been held with the National Treasury as well as DPSC on the matter. And the last statement then has been made, and it is just a matter of now briefing the new case, because seven of the proposals that are made in the previous case, five of them are actually in the
And that's why we are seriously in the structure. And that's the thing I think is the structure, you know, you cannot simply, you know, give money as a request until we give them the light that we are for identity for resources that we have and will be my school. There have been cases that we have been giving them money over time. Now they are supposed to get a fully fledged self-sustaining entity, national team and one constellation. On the issue of the invoices, yeah, indeed I do take note of that. In fact, we will communicate back to the department. This is one of the problems that we are having with the department. Although we have introduced this problem of paying our contractors or our suppliers, you know, within days, we see the problem of systems. We have to improve our systems, and this is one area where we will definitely be making an improvement, because we realize how it is making or it is really damaging the sustainability of the ICT. That's all I can say in terms of the improvement of the system. But indeed, we are very much aware. It has a lot of things to do.
No, there is a reason for my systems in the question. Because we've seen what the IDP has done, or what the IDP has done, and what they are still doing. We've seen it with our own two eyes. The members in this room, we have been on the oversight, and they are really doing wonderful work in terms of creating jobs for the lower scale of contractors, grade 3, 4, even 2s, with your grade 9, the main contractor. So if they haven't got money to pay, then those people are suffering from hunger. They have to close their business. There's no livelihood for them. So, and that is the worrying factor. So we can't close our eyes and see that work must not be done or people must go hungry. While the department and if the minister, if there's a problem with him, we will call him to the committee to come and explain to us what is the problem, where is the holdup. Because if we call out of service for service delivery, and as government we can't even fulfill our duties and our mandate, then there's a problem. And that problem must be solved. That problem must seriously be solved. We cannot allow a national department to hold an entity to ransom that must deliver to the people on the ground, that must deliver to the poor men, and no delivery is taking place because a national government department or a minister is holding an entity to ransom, he hasn't read up or hasn't approved anything in that. The time for taking 100 years to approve is gone, it's past. 30 days, government policy of 30 days. Within 30 days, whether it's 5 days or 10 days, it must be done. So please convey that message to the DG and to that. We are very, like I said, we have seen, that's why we are not biased towards the IT, but we've seen the work that they've done. And as a committee, we would like to see them continuing that work and uplifting and giving jobs. But if the national department are not adhering or working with them, then definitely we will have a problem. This committee won't let it lie down. That we can be assured. See, honourable members, any questions, clarity from your side?
I have a question on this issue that you are responding to. It can only be for anyone who is outside the I'd like for the department to identify what society is the capacity from the department. But we can't go on the roof with people on the ground screaming. reduced so that there isn't another disclaimer. Because disclaimers mean Jefferson something in us.
Public works must address this issue with his counterpart at the DG store, as well as the minister at the ministerial level in cabinet. Ministers meet each other in cabinet, and they must talk to each other. They must tell, hey, when there is a problem in my political oversight, or where I've got political responsibility, there's a problem, IDT, basic education, why don't you pay? Correctional services or police or whoever it is, arts and culture must pay up. Because with not paying, they are killing the small man which we are supposed to look after. They are killing them in terms of business. So we will still pursue that, CEO. I know you are trying now to put things correctly with public work, but we will still pursue, because our mandate is to look after those people that we are the voice for those that can't speak or that can't be heard. We are the voice of public representatives. So we are not favoring IDT here. We are favoring the work that IDT does of putting bread on the table for those so out in the rural area. CFO.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, the issue of the disclaimer, last year we were disclaiming on the program balance the reserve. Last week, Friday, and then by
Deputy Chairperson.
Mr. Chair, I think as our board also indicated that what is needed is a number of stakeholders on program management, but also the project management, so that some of the services can be moving out. But we are also starting to identify other revenue streams that still within our mandate. And when we look at the presentation that was given, in terms of the target, we have achieved and significantly overachieved in others. But when faced with outward situation where service providers don't even be achieved to open the schools and it's on the reopening, we have no choice but to have to use what we have in order to ensure that the school is not affected as such. So we really appreciate the emphasis and obviously we are to engage in the sense that we can with the department, but obviously with the support from the portfolio committee, I think we will be able to.
CEO, your last words?
I thought those were the last words.
Okay, all right, good. No, look, definitely, because you see, the reason why you got the disclaimer is because of that. It's for a snowball effect. And you are put into a corner which is not, in actual fact, your fault. But it's got such a huge snowball effect that the little man who's got a grade one, grade two, grade three companies, contracting companies, are also suffering. Projects are suffering down the line because at the end of the day, you can't pay. And the working for Mahala scheme is gone. There's no work for Mahala anymore. So, but we will engage, we will definitely engage as a portfolio committee. We will engage and we will see that this nonsense must stop so that it can't carry on for years and years and years. Because a lot of people, specifically in the rural area, where they see schools are being dilapidated and new schools must be built for our kids to have the comfort of study better and in a better environment. We can't fulfill that because some departments are dallying with payments. It's not their money. Work has been done, they must just process the money. That's all. You can't take the money and keep it forever in the bank. It must go out the way it needs to be spent. So we will definitely, from our side, pursue this very vigorously so that we can get better results the next time we see you. But we will also, part of our oversight mandate, come down to you and go maybe to another area, part of our oversight, and look at what is happening. And I'm telling you now that the contractor is not going to say, oh, education hasn't paid. When we're going to engage with them, they will say, IDT has not paid you. IDT, tell them, IDT is this, IDT is that. So that is the first point that man or woman will say that to us. Oh, IDT. In Mpumalanga, they said, no, IDT was good to us. IDT is very good. But then if you go to Eastern Cape, Honorable Adams, they will say, no, IDT is bad. They haven't paid us. Sir.
The funds, because he's the one who is contracted with the service provider.
do their reconciliation later. I mean, we've got too many oversight. We've got audits, we've got internal audits, we've got external audits, we've got a board, we have audits and these committees that are providing oversight to ensure that things are effectively done. So this thing of trust deficit, it starts within the organs of state. And it has got to be eliminated. And it goes across the board. It's not only the IEC. It's many institutions of government that have got to execute directives from the department. But payment is an issue.
Yeah, no, you're right there, sir. That's why I said this thing has got a snowballing effect. Because part of the other snowballing effect, if a small contractor does one work for the IDT and he doesn't get paid, he's not going to take on another job. And that is an impact on his grading. Because he doesn't work. Oh, SABC is fast asleep. So it's got an impact on the grading of that small contractor, because you as CIDB are not going to grade a contractor if he does not work within the space of 12 months or 6 months. So that's why it's got a huge impact, snowballing impact, negatively, because of the payment of the national departments. And it's no one else's fault, but it's the people that's supposed to be looking after the small man. It's their fault. And we, as public representatives, must go and clarify this matter so that action starts to roll, so that people can start making a living and there is economic or radical economic transformation happening, not just by words, but by deeds. Because tomorrow, the small contractor is not saying IDT, they're not saying no public works. They go down there, they say, CIDB doesn't want to grade me. But they don't know that you have to do work for grading to happen. Because you can't be graded just at looking at you. You have to, it's not an hotel establishment where you go in and a tourism grading council where you go in and see all the sheets are nice and white. It's been washed maybe by Omo or Ariel or something. And no, the bedding, the cushions and all that. The owner went out yesterday and buy all these beddings and stuff and put, no, okay, it's fine, I can grade them. No, construction, you don't grade it that way. Grade it in terms of other ways. And that is the reason why I said we need to pursue those members. Please support that we need to pursue this vigorously. Even if we have to call in or have a joint meeting with our colleagues at finance, we must do that. So far as well, we must do that, so that this nonsense can come to an end. Sir, the department don't justify it,
ma'am. Yes.
Please. I see you were intimidating the CFO, CEO next
to
you. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, the IDT. And we're going to break for lunch now. Ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, we love to be served in the restaurant. Where is our man now? Okay. Lunch is served in the restaurant, I think. We will be back at 2 o'clock, and then we'll start with CBE or CIDB. CBE has requested last night. CBE. You wanted to go last?
Yeah.
Okay. CIDB, are you ready at 2? You will be ready. Okay, great start. Thank you very much, IDT. All the best. And CFO, don't be intimidated by the department. We will definitely push Thank you very much. We break for lunch and we come back at 2 o'clock so that we can start. How are you? What? Where are you?
We should finish. No.
You're building up the houses with innovative building materials and systems designed by
that we as sponsors, we know what we are after.
Okay. I could say.
business that we can say, yeah, I can program that, yeah, especially.